It's time for our weekly catch-up with the ACT Party's Simon Court.
In Budget 2025, private schools will receive subsidies, increasing the annual spend by $4.6 million a year to $46.2 million. As well as this, the annual spend on charter schools will double to $57 million. ACT Party leader David Seymour says that independent schools are an important part of New Zealand's education landscape that offers diversity and choice for parents. For our weekly catch-up, I spoke to the ACT Party's Simon Court about the additional support independent schools will receive and how this will benefit the average taxpayer. We also discussed changes to job seeker and emergency benefits for 18 to 19-year-olds, as those receiving this benefit will now have their benefit tested against their parents' income. The move, which is set to come into effect in 2027, is estimated to impact almost 9,000 young people. We also discussed changes to KiwiSaver, where the government will halve subsidies and increase employer contributions to a minimum of 4% from 3%. But first, we discussed the additional support for independent schools. To start, why implement these subsidies and increase annual spend on private schools and charter schools?
Well, private schools, they teach children using a combination of private funds and public subsidy. That subsidy has not increased for 15 years, and so while their costs have gone up and you know, they're still educating kids that would otherwise have to be paid for exclusively and at greater cost to the taxpayer, they haven't received any corresponding increase. So this is around $4 million, which has been reprioritised out of budget for charter schools to make sure that private schools' costs, which are primarily inflationary, have been covered.
According to data gathered by Independent Schools of New Zealand, roughly 4% of students are enrolled privately. As a significant majority of New Zealand students are receiving a public education, why should taxpayers, a lot who are struggling through the cost of living crisis, be funding this initiative? Why? What do they get out of this?
Well, it's actually a great deal for taxpayers because, like I pointed out, if these children were not in a private school, they would have to have their education fully funded by the taxpayer. In fact, most of their costs are covered by their parents or families who, you know, often come from lower socioeconomic groups and who save up to send their children to private schools so they get the best education. Now, I'll just reiterate, if they were not paying the fees to send their children to private school, then those costs would be incurred by the taxpayer to educate that child at a state school. So if you think about it, people sending their kids to private school are actually doing the taxpayer a favour.
Does this not just take away the independent element of these schools if the government is subsidising them?
No, these schools operate under a charter, and there is legislation which governs the relationship between the state and these private school sectors. And you know, it's an arrangement that's been around for a long, long time, and I certainly haven't heard that private schools are suddenly changing the way they teach or approach the student community because they've received a subsidy from the government.
On to our next topic. Unemployed 18 to 19-year-olds are set to have their job seeker and emergency benefits tested by how much their parents earn. Does this take into account 18 to 19-year-olds who are not in contact with their parents? For example, someone who has been disowned by their parents over their sexuality or gender identity?
Well, what we're saying with this announcement is that 18 or 19-year-olds who don't study or work and can't support themselves financially should be supported by their parents or guardians, not by the taxpayer. And that's why from July 2027, giving people a bit of time to get used to the idea, eligibility for job seeker support and emergency benefit will be tightened for single unemployed 18 and 19-year-olds by introducing a parental assistance test. Young people can't expect to automatically go onto a benefit, and parents must be ready to help. This change strengthens our financial incentives in New Zealand to enter employment, education or training.
Yeah, but what about those who are not in contact with their parents or have a legal guardian to alleviate these sort of concerns? How will this work for them?
Well, I'll tell you what's a concern. In fact, a human tragedy. Forecasts show that people under the age of 25 on JobSeeker will spend an average of 18 or more years on a benefit over their lifetime. That's gone up by 50% since 2017. That is a tragedy, to spend 18 or more years on a benefit over their lifetimes. We just need to focus the potential of, you know, New Zealand's most powerful asset, our young people, And that's why we're taking this action, so that they know that they do have choices if they are in real extreme situations, maybe like the situation you've described, but otherwise they'll be looking to their parents or guardians to support if they're not in education, training or work when they're 18 or 19.
Is this not a concerning move considering the country's unemployment rates?
Well, one thing we do know is that while we have had a significant series of recessions as a result of the really quite outrageous inflation caused by the previous government spending and printing money and blowing it into the economy, this is the hangover after the Labor Party. What we're also seeing is that as interest rates come down, businesses are starting to employ more people. We're certainly seeing that through the Seek job ads statistics, Trade Me job ads, and that's across the economy. Although, unfortunately, less so in Wellington, where I live and work for a large part of my time.
The income levels of parents being tested against has not yet been decided by Cabinet. Why is this?
It's because that when a policy decision is taken and budgets are set, the specific policy details, which are often determined through regulation or secondary legislation, the policy problem is given to officials to make sure that the settings, the rules can be applied effectively. But in the run-up to budget, we only really have a few months of the year to establish the high-level priorities, the budget allocations for each spending area. And then if you set a start date for the future, like this one is, 2027, it actually gives officials time to report back to the Cabinet with the detailed proposal. So this is pretty normal.
As well as this, there have been some pretty big changes to KiwiSaver. The government is set to halve subsidies and increase employee contributions to a minimum of 4% from 3%. How will these changes impact young people?
Well, using Sorted Website's comparative calculator, government's KiwiSaver changes mean that an 18-year-old earning $48,000 a year and investing in a balanced fund will have almost $900,000 in their KiwiSaver at age 65 under the new settings. Under the old settings, they would have been able to call on about $721,000 in their KiwiSaver. So by making these changes, allowing 16 and 17-year-olds, so making sure that employers do contribute to 16 and 17-year-olds who are in KiwiSaver, previously they weren't required to, and increasing the contribution rate from 3%, the employers' contribution rate from 3% to 4%, young people are going to be much better off when it comes to them buying a house and when they get to retirement.
Council of Trade Unions economist Craig Rennie says what is being proposed has a loophole that would allow employers to opt back to 3% matching contributions, meaning workers may have no choice but to accept these conditions. Have these concerns been taken into account regarding the decision on KiwiSaver?
Well, I haven't seen Craig Rennie's comments, but what we do allow actually is employees to remain on the 3% rate if they choose, because their personal circumstances mean that they would rather keep that additional 1% rather than contribute it to KiwiSaver. So we have allowed for people to stay at the default rate if they choose. Otherwise, they will be automatically co-opted into the higher rate, which kicks in two tranches, one April 2026 and one April 2028.
That was the ACT Party Simon Court on the funding allocated to independent schools in Budget 2025, changes to job seeker and emergency benefits for 18 to 19-year-olds, and changes to KiwiSaver.
That was Simon Court from the ACT Party.
We'll be right back. Text in 5395 on any of your thoughts on these pieces.